Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with T-Rex.
What up?
Marina's coming in a little late. She'll be here. We got a great show tonight. I'm so used to being comedy. Great show today. We have Ashley Evan Smith, who's making her UFC debut at UFC 181.
Congratulations.
She's 3-0 in MMA. And also Hector Urbina, who just won at UFC 179. No, UFC 180 he won in Mexico. And then Bisbing was supposed to be on this week, but we had to move the show to Monday because I had to shoot something on Tuesday. So he'll be on next week. Michael Bisbing, next week.
I'm a great fighter.
Sounds just like him. Just sounds just like him. I thought he was here just now. How was your week, T-Rex?
It was good, man. Had an audition for Real Housewives of Hollywood.
Nice.
And that went well. And then did a show Friday night, probably the most ghetto show I've ever done.
There you go.
In Hollywood especially. And I've been to some pretty ghetto shows in Hollywood, but this one was... Everybody there was probably 55 and older and black.
Nice. My crowd.
Yeah. It's not mine either. And the dude who went up before me was this old black dude named Bubba Loke.
Okay.
You know, a 50-something-year-old black dude. He's like, well, I like good pussy.
Oh, my God.
I like. And I'm like, really? I got to follow that? You know, I'm going to talk about my family.
It wasn't Bill Cosby? It sounded like Bill Cosby just now.
Right.
I made a good joke about Bill Cosby. He's hosting a show called... Rape victims say that the darnest things.
So that was my weekend, and just hung with the family and getting ready for Thanksgiving. And how was your week?
My week was crazy. So last Wednesday I had a show Tuesday I had a show at Flappers, which I happen to like Flappers Comedy Club. It has like four rooms. The only problem is the name Flappers. You say, oh, I'm pouring a Flappers. It's like, oh, God. This immediately, like, they could have named it anything else, you know?
Right. That immediately makes you think of a strip club of, like, octogenarians, like 80-year-old women stripping.
Welcome to Flappers.
Yeah, that or, like, it's like, hey, welcome to Flappers. You know, it's like such an old school name of a comedy club. Anything could be. It's just the name Flappers. Anyway, but the show was great. I had a good time there. And then, you know, it's one of those things you have a really good show. Like, it's always like to have the worst when you have a really good show. Like, you do a week at a club, and then Thursday night you kill it. Because it just goes downhill, and like you think, oh, okay, the rest of the week's going to be as good or better. And it's always like sometimes you could just peek out early. So Wednesday night I go to the State Social House, and I'm like, you know, I'm doing the text from last Friday. My mind's in like 10 different places. I go there, and this girl before me brought like 20 people. You know, the place held like 30 people.
Right.
So I get up on stage, 20 will get up and leave. Like right away.
The social small?
Yeah, pretty small. Like halfway through my opening, like, hey, how's it going? Everyone, I'm like, really? And then I make them all sit down. And then I'm doing a joke about like how like everything's always the guy's fault. You look at like commercials, extends, how to extend your penis. I'm like, how come, well, if it's the girl, how come there's no compacts or smushes or vagismal or twat not a lot or clam closers? And I go on, like, zip the lips, you know, confine the vagina, bestow the camel toe. So this girl goes, this girl's like, you know, that's not funny, you know, my vagina is not that big, you know, just starts yelling at me, right? And then we like get into it. After the show, she comes up to me and starts yelling at me. You know, it's not nice that you say that women have big vaginas. I go, listen, you know.
If your vagina was as big as your mouth, you'd be in trouble.
I go, look, I'm sorry you have a huge vagina.
Right. Did you say that?
Yeah. I'm sorry. She's like, that's not funny too. I'm like, what do you want from me? It's like sometimes people, they get to you know what it is? They start getting drunk. And they start thinking all the jokes are directed exactly to them.
Well, that's the first thing that you think when someone starts. If you say, where are all my bitches at? And people get mad. You're like, the ones that are getting mad are the ones that consider themselves bitches.
Exactly. It was, anyway. So Marina's here. Are you here? Are you knocking?
Yeah.
Okay, come in.
Open the door.
Oh, it's locked?
Come in.
All right, here you go. Oh, I didn't know it was locked. What so up? Marina Shafir is here, the supernova from Moldova, the beautiful Marina wearing a hoodie.
Like Sam Goody.
So then, so that was like annoying. It was like, it was to the point where the show was like, it was so discombobulated. There was a porn star that I knew in the crowd. I knew her before she did porn. And she's like, it's okay, Adam. Keep going. I'm like, I know you have problems when porn stars are telling you it's going to be all right.
Right.
That's when you know it's not the greatest show ever. When porn stars are like, keep your head up. You know? So then I go Thursday night. I go to jiu-jitsu, right? I'm like, I haven't done jiu-jitsu in a while. I'm going to go to 10th Planet. I see Evan the Beard there. He did his Muay Thai kickboxing class. He's pretty jacked, though, by the way. Evan the Beard's got some muscle. He wears, like, hipster gear all the time, so right. He hides it. But he's got some muscles.
he's always hiding his physique behind his beard.
Yeah. So I do. So jiu-jitsu is going really well. I'm actually like hitting off some moves and doing like a couple arm drags. And this one guy I go against, this like real chubby Asian guy, right? So
he's a chunk.
I hit an arm bar on him, right? And I never hit an arm bar. I always go for guillotines or rear naked chokes or just, you know, wrestler based jiu-jitsu moves. You know, right. I never really go for an arm bar. So I hit an arm bar. I was like, well, I was real proud of myself. And the guy's like, well, you're pretty aggressive.
What?
You know, so I'm like, okay. So then the next thing I know, this guy, I didn't realize he was a gymnast, right? He hits me with this thing called the electric chair, which I didn't even see coming because I was like standing up and he was down and he hit it perfect. And then all of a sudden he's cranking on my leg and I'm like, I'm not tapping to this guy, which is so stupid. I should have just tapped. And then I hear pop and I'm like, oh, fuck. He immediately got it. Like, you okay? Because he heard it too. Like it was a real loud pop. No, my leg. So I was like, I got up and I could still walk, but I'm like, man, my back and my calf. It's like weird way to pop. And then the teacher, who's a really good teacher, Justin, right? Justin? What's his name? Jared Carson.
Yeah.
He's a really good teacher. He sits me down. He's like, hey, man, you know, is it over here? Or is it over there? He's like, look. He's like, ice it and heat it on and off. It's probably going to hurt the next day. You're not going to be able to walk too well. I'm like, great. I have a flight in like an hour. I have a flight I got to catch at like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's 9 o'clock there.
You're gonna be seated with an injury. Seated the worst.
With three flights. I have three flights to Toledo. And I'm
who's
like,
who's your travel agent for Christ's sake?
Me. I'm my own fucking travel agent.
That's what you get.
So then I'm like, so it just, and every flight it kept hurting worse. I'm just, Jesus. So then it was funny. I get off the plane, right? I get to Toledo. It's the next day. It's an overnight flight. I walk into the baggage claim. There's literally like 12 people there, and one of them is Diego Sanchez.
Hilarious.
Swear to God. I'm like, he looks at me, he goes, do I know you? I go, Adam Hunter. Oh my God, what's up, man? I was like, I go, what are you doing in Toledo? Like, out of all the places, how weird is this? He's like, yeah, me and Vitor Belfort, they're giving speeches at churches or something. That right. They're on a tour. Where, like, I swear to God.
Are you guys playing Mad Libs? Did I just like walk in?
No,
like something.
No, we're not playing Mad Libs. This really, really happened. So Vitor Belfort and Diego were in Toledo, Ohio, giving speeches to at a church. And I invited him to the comedy show. Meanwhile, I'm asking Diego, I'm like, look, my leg. I'm asking for advice on my knee. I'm like, what do I do? Because I can't really walk. He's like, dude, you might hurt your ACL or your LCL. That's what happened to me. So now I feel kind of cool because I'm discussing fighter injuries.
The injuries stories with Diego Sanchez.
Yeah, there was something about it that was very
like
bro-ish.
Male bonding. I thought
about injuries. With Diego Sanchez? Fuck right. Yeah, dude. I felt so tough at
yeah,
that point.
I got the same injury as Diego Sanchez got. He was fighting Melendez.
Oh, so Diego was super nice, super cool.
Did he come to the show?
No, he didn't come to the show. I texted
him. Bastard!
And then, like, the show itself in Toledo, the crowds are great. The opener, right, nice guy, long hair guy with a guitar, right? He has, like, a guitar act, which is hard. It's hard to follow guys with guitars, whatever. I mean, not really, but the only thing was that he, the guy did this thing where he had a song about his merchandise. Like, he sold, like, four t-shirts.
So fucking cheesy.
He showed, like, he goes, here's my greatest hits CD.
Oh.
He's the feature. He had the greatest hits CD. He has three t-shirts and a song about it. So I like go on. I'm like, I'm selling my CDs. I'll be next to that guy's store. You know, people were laughing. It was actually fun though. And so that was crazy. And then I'm like watching the fights, which we'll get into, and then we'll get to Marina's week. It was pretty funny, right? So I meet this girl out. And I meet her out that night. It was like Saturday night.
Did she eat your butt?
What?
Did she eat your
she
butt?
She didn't eat my butt. No, that was that was last week. But it got
it. She put it in the butt?
No, well, here's what happened, right?
Oh.
So, no, she didn't put in her butt. So I like meet her. Let's just maybe say Tinder is the greatest thing ever. Okay, but so I like meet this girl out at like 1 o'clock in the morning at some bar. She's cute. So we're talking and I'm trying to watch the fight because it's Cub Swanson versus Frankie Edgar. And she keeps talking and it's like annoying because I'm trying to watch. And she's like, you know, it looks like they're having sex right now, you know? And I'm like, really? The guys elbow you in like the face during sex? Right. She's like, why? Is that what you're into? I'm like, no, that's what's happening right now on the TV, you dumbass. That's what's going on. So she tells me, she's like, you know, she used to be a gymnast as well.
You're
and
really bent out of shape about this, huh?
No, about what?
I mean, just really emotional. You're talking with your hands.
I'll tell you about this story. So she tells me, she's like, I gotta tell you something that's really embarrassing. She's like, what? I'm like, what? Don't tell me you had a penis. She's like, no. She's like, I had this problem when I was 21 where my asshole fell out. Swear to God.
It's called anal prolapse.
So, really?
Yeah.
She goes, I have batteries in my lower back, right?
That shock the intestines back up in her asshole every time they start falling out.
I swear to God. She said she had batteries in her back and there was a remote control. I swear to God. She had a remote. You can call her. She had a remote control and it like, it made her asshole tighter. So I'm like, dude.
Come on.
I felt it. I felt the batteries. I didn't believe it too. I was like, I was looking around to see
what
the camera crew was.
In God's name.
No, so I swear to God, you guys feel
the remote control operates the winch that just like starts cinching up her ass.
Yes. So and
that'd be great. Exactly.
She said her asshole fell out when she was younger, and she had.
So that'd be great for anal sex. You put your thing in there and just start hitting the remote control.
How could her asshole fall out?
I don't know. She said because she said she was a gymnast and her asshole. She was too flexible. Her asshole fell. But I was asking her. I was like, so wait, when the remote, could I like turn the channel too? Because that would be great if you could like watch SportsCenter while having sex while making her asshole tighter. Tell me that.
Oh my God.
No, I swear on my life. The girl, I felt the batteries,
I wanted you to feel the pink sock.
Oh, dude, it was unbelievable. I'm telling you, Google this. There's got to be some kind of thing where.
Is this like an alien probing? Maybe like.
No, she said her asshole fell out and that she needed to make it tighter, and then she was a remote with batteries.
Oh my God.
I was looking for the remote in her place. I couldn't find the remote. I heard
about that through powerlifting. Like, powerlifters have that happen where they're like trying to lift too much and they push and their freaking intestines like start coming out of their ass.
Oh man, it was crazy.
Oh my God. My dad was a professional powerlifter. And
did his asshole fall out?
No, but whenever we were squatting, he would yell at anybody who farted because that means you're relaxed.
Oh really?
So yeah, like if one of his students farted, he would make us run miles.
He'd make you run a mile?
I never farted while I squatted.
Your dad used to make you really? Your dad's like, if you fart, you got to run a mile?
Yeah, because it means you're relaxed.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be relaxed when you have a large weight.
You've had a very strange childhood, huh?
I have.
So how was your week? What have you been up to the last 2 weeks? Yeah.
I got into a fender bender. Ooh. And I was really sick.
You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. The lady backed into me, so.
How bad is your car?
It's still drivable, but the alignment is off.
But the asshole fell out.
And how's your boyfriend? Asshole.
Boyfriend's good. He's at work.
Nice.
Yeah. He's back on the boat?
Back on a boat.
No way, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So how long is he going to be gone this time?
Almost a month.
He just piled drive and left, huh?
What?
Piled drive and left. He hit it and quit it. No. All right. So wait. So now he's gone for a couple months?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And how's training?
Training's good. Training's good. I'm doing more teaching than training right now.
Teach judo?
Yeah.
Any fights coming up?
No fights coming up.
Any offers?
No offers.
Come on.
I mean, I have offers. I'm just not ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Trial by fire, man. Get in there.
Now we go.
Get in there.
So, so did everyone watch UFC Fight Night? Please say yes.
Yes.
Most of it.
All right.
I watched it.
Frankie Edgar, Cub Swanson.
Great fight.
I thought Edgar did exactly what he should have done. I wouldn't say he was losing the boxing exchanges, but they were even.
Yep.
And then he was like, fuck this. Lowered his level. Yeah. Took him down.
Cub couldn't even like connect a jab in that fight. Do you know? Like Edgar's head movement was so quick and he was so like intense with his pressure that there's no way.
You know, it's funny because Cub, I know he was focusing on boxing a lot. He works with Tim Bradley, and he was even talking about possibly getting a pro fight. But you know, I'm sure he is a very good boxer. But that, I mean, it seems like wrestling is what he should have. I'm sure he did use wrestling, but Frankie Edgar just took him down at will. Yeah. And some people get upset with that. They're like, you know what? You know, that was kind of boring.
That's part of the fight game, though.
Cub didn't even engage with the grappling with him at all. Yeah. He just tried to do basic jiu-jitsu shit.
It was strange.
Yeah, it was weird.
I mean, I think a lot of it also was that, it was hard. It's hard to watch because I'm a huge Cub Swanson fan. I'm a huge Edgar fan as well.
They're both very nice guys.
I know how hard Cub works. He works his ass off. He looked good. It seems like that is his Achilles heel is wrestlers. I mean, obviously, you know, it seems like wrestlers like that too. It's just that's what's going to happen. It's strange. I mean, a lot of, you know, that 145 division now is so deep between, you know, Conor McGregor and Cub Swanson and Aldo and Edgar and even, you know, Dustin Poirier and Ricardo Lamas, who looked amazing last week. So I think it's probably the deepest division in the UFC is that 145. And, you know, like I put on Twitter that I think that what's his name is going to drop to 135 now.
Who's that?
You know, Conor McGregor. And he's not really, but I said. Right. I mean, look, there's no way that I still think that Edgar would smash Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. You?
That would be a fun fight. I don't know.
Yeah. Really?
I don't know. Yeah. I would have to think about this one for a little bit because, like, I want to see Conor fight like a full three rounds.
Yeah, like, Conor hasn't been tested like that really.
No,
yeah. not to the likes of Edgar. And Edgar's pace is ridiculous and is relentless.
Yeah,
but he can go five rounds full throttle.
Yeah,
and that gets fucking tiring really quickly.
Hey, Conor hasn't faced any wrestlers.
It's like he's on you like a wet blanket the entire fucking time. You're like, God damn, would you just give me a second?
Yeah.
It's like reset.
Yeah.
And Conor hasn't been tested like that. So it'd be a good fight. Probably the first two rounds would be fucking exciting, and then Edgar probably would just start beating the shit out of him.
I think so. I mean, the thing is that Conor, I think, could win that fight if he lands something that hurts Edgar. But I don't know. I mean, but Edgar also fought at 155. I mean, the guys that hurt Edgar were like Gray Maynard hurt him a couple times.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That wasn't enough to take him out.
Nope.
That was crazy.
Right. He's like real life Rocky.
That was insane. So yeah, that's crazy. That was a great fight. I was happy. Bobby Green's fight.
Jesus.
You know, I know training with the Diaz brothers is
got him to talk. She was talking the whole freaking fight.
Yeah, and that's his thing is to try to. But the thing is, he was taunting to get in the guy's head. But the other guy that didn't speak English,
Barboza
had no idea what he was saying.
That's what he said. He's like, I know he likes to talk shit. I hope he slows down because I don't understand English that good.
I guess that's the way to not get affected by smack talk is to not know what the hell the guy's saying.
Right, okay.
Barboza has some really great counter punching. That whole fight, he was backing up the whole fight. Bobby Green was like pressuring him so well, but he was landing some crazy combinations backing up with kicks.
And the thing was, I hung out with Bobby Green before. Me, him, and Rogan hung out one night for like 5 hours at the Ice House. He's a really cool guy, very informed guy, nice guy. The thing about it though is that it seems to be he's getting away from like he didn't use wrestling at all. Didn't use jiu-jitsu at all. Even the boxing he was using, he was having his hands down and just throwing one punch at a time.
And he's stringing together some combinations.
I know before the fight, he said he might retire after this. It seems like maybe everything's getting to him. He's had a lot of stuff
Horrible shit happened to him.
Maybe he needs time to get off. At the same time, a guy like that probably needs to be active. Otherwise, sometimes too much time can be a huge distraction.
Right.
But I think maybe a sports therapist would help him or some kind of...
But also, I think a lot of that, like that showboating and shit-talking during the fight sometimes can turn off the judges too. You know what I mean? Like, because you start acting like every kick and punch doesn't hurt. You know damn well some of those kicks and punches hurt.
Oh, yeah.
So he switched his stance like a million times in that fight, you know?
Bobby Green did?
Yeah.
That whole style kind of... I can see how that could piss a lot of people off. And that could probably turn off judges too. Like, all right, I'm, you know, mark him down a notch just because they don't like his style of doing that type of.
I mean,
I wish the judges were computers. I hate judges.
Right. Like in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that seems to like sometimes then people cheat that system. But Bobby Green did win. He did have the most significant words per round of any fighter.
Yeah, but only some of them landed though.
Only a couple of them landed. He has the best verbs in MMA. Now, Jared Rosholt versus Alexei Olnick. It was funny because I watched
I didn't
that.
See this one.
This one was a.
You didn't see that one? That was a good
one. I got out of work at 8, so that I caught the last couple.
Jared Rochelle is a good. I mean, he's a. I think a 4-time All-American from All-American College. His brother was an amazing wrestler. But he was actually winning. He hurt the guy.
Yeah, he was winning.
And then he just got caught
with that
and
left.
Laid the fuck out.
Oh, this is the heavyweight one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Alexi. This is the one I walked in on. This one was nuts.
Yeah, that dude is freaking huge.
Yeah.
Alexi,
his record is 50-9.
He was so stiff, too. The whole, like, yeah. You see his striking, it was so funny.
What is it with these Russians that have, like, 75 record, 70-0 by the time they're 11?
Yeah, but I mean, 20 of those fights were against a bear.
Is there anything to do? You're from Moldova.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys do? Just fight when you're, like, 3 years old, fight club?
Yeah, fight and make wine.
Really?
Yeah. It kind of, like, you know,
fart bounces. And run laps.
Fart and run laps.
Yep. Make sure you're ahead of everybody when that happens.
That's great.
That's funny.
I like that. Marina the comic.
Yep.
Now, Josh Copeland, you see Huggy Cuddly Bear? The Cuddly Bear? See that? Oh, you guys didn't see that?
Bear.
There's a guy named Cuddly Bear. He lost. He was huge. He looked like Roy Nelson and Matt Mitrione had a baby. This guy. He was cool. Benavidez looked great.
Yep.
Yeah, Joe Benavidez looked great.
He did.
I was happy for
him. Who did he fight again?
He fought
Dustin Ortiz.
Yeah.
Oh.
But Dustin Ortiz looked freaking good too, though.
Tough.
How did this fight end?
It was just 3 rounds of Benavidez dominating him.
Yeah,
nice.
Unanimous decision.
But he was tough. I like, you know, I think Benavidez. I'm not saying that it was a fluke, that first fight against Demetrius Johnson, but I know he would do better the second fight. It'd be a pretty close fight. You know, he never been knocked out before. When you've never been knocked out before, I think a lot of times you don't think you can get knocked out. And then when
you extend yourself a little more than you should.
It's almost like sometimes the best thing you could do is get knocked out in sparring. And you're like, oh, fuck. Okay. When it really happens, you get more prepared. It seems like a lot of times fighters I've had on the show, I go, hey, the first time you got knocked out, almost every fighter goes, yeah, I didn't think that could happen. You know, it's like you think you have a huge chin and it's just not going to happen. But what?
You ever been knocked out, Marina?
Yeah.
Have you really?
I was trying to avoid that. Thank you. I was looking at her while talking to you. But thanks for, her last fight. She didn't get knocked out.
I didn't get knocked out.
I'm talking about like cold. Like,
oh, no. Asleep. Like, we call it a flush knockout, you know?
Right.
And,
so you're still awake, but you can't really defend yourself.
Yeah. And, I've never been knocked out cold where, like, you go stiff and you start, like, convulsing a little bit. Yeah. Right. No, I've never done.
But a flush knockout, right? So you get hit. Now,
you pop right back out.
Are you aware of where you are?
When I got tagged, I went out for a second, but as soon as I hit the ground, I popped right back up.
Right.
And then she came forward, and then my legs got caught. My leg that I was taking a step with got caught under hers, and I, like, slipped, and I hit the back of my head on the... And then she came down, just straight hands, so...
Boom.
But I felt the first, like, two. And then that was when the ref came in.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, were you discombobulated when you were up? You're like, what the fuck's going on? Or were you like...
No, like, I was perfectly functioning. I was just like, what the hell? Like, why'd they stop the fight?
Right. Yeah.
That was my first thought.
I've never had that, but I've had, like, girls give such good head that my eyes go way...
They roll back.
Oh, you ever had that?
You're looking at your cerebral cortex.
That's the best. When your eyes go... and you can, like, see your thoughts from, like, the fourth grade. Honestly, like, there's nothing better than having your eyes roll back. All right. Okay. All right. Moving right on. So,
I roll back.
So, Paige Van Zandt.
I didn't see this fight.
I didn't see that fight.
Oh, God. That was a great fight.
I didn't see that fight.
I read her statement after her fight how she was like, I just wanted to show that I didn't need the tough show and stuff. And that was really brave. Like, I heard she performed well, and that's awesome.
Probably dodged a bullet. What was the girl's name? Katie Curran, right?
Kylan Curran.
Katie Couric. She fought.
Oh, Katie Couric?
Yeah. Kylan Curran, she fought. This Hawaiian girl who was also smoking hot. Yeah. Although, the tattoos on the chest we could do without. Ladies, you know, if you're going to get a tattoo, yeah, sleeves, whatever, when you get like a whole novel written on your boobs, right above your boobs, is this kind of like...
I think it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She could never get mad at you for looking at her tits because then you'd be like, I was reading.
Yeah. Plus, when she's older, it's going to be the whole scripture. You know?
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament. She's going to have to keep adding to it. No, she's a... They're both very attractive girls and they're both great fighters.
Yeah, Kaylin is really talented.
Did you train with her?
Yeah. I went down to Rain and trained there a couple times and I got to like show her a couple things and just move around with her. She learns quick. She's got a good head on her shoulders. I hope she comes back.
She will. I mean, it was a pretty close fight, a really close fight. It was hard. It was hard not to make jokes about it. It's always hard for me because you got these like ultra sensitive, extremely liberal people on the internet that are just waiting for me to make an inappropriate joke to go, you're bad for women's MMA. I'm like, really? Bad women's MMA? Like, first, how many girls have we had on this podcast? 1,000 girls in the podcast. I coach wrestling for little girls. I've helped send 2 girls over to the military. I can't tell you how many, I've had 45,000, whatever. I'm not bad for men because I make a joke. It's a joke to make you laugh. And we'll see if they're laughing or females anyway. Regardless, I made a couple jokes that the girls are so pretty that Leslie Smith's ear squirted out again. And
that was awesome. I read that one.
Did people get mad?
Yeah, actually, someone did get mad at that. They're like, oh, that's offensive. I'm like, really? That's offensive?
And then
yeah.
Leslie Smith favorites it and retweets it.
Yeah,
she has a sense of humor.
How many jokes I made about Ronda saying that about like if that fight goes to the ground, so are my pants. Or I sent Ronda Rousey a dick pic and it came back crooked. Or you know, I could read you. I have 10,000 Ronda Rousey jokes. You know who the first person to tell me how funny that was? Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey's mom came on the podcast and was like, she's like, these are really funny. I have a sense of humor. It's never the people that you're making fun of that get offended. It's always like to someone who thinks that they should be offended.
Yeah.
It's like let the people I'm making fun of get offended. Not you, you fucked hard. Anyway,
yeah,
so
if you get offended, keep it to your fucking self.
Speaking of, so I got to talk to you, Marina, about this because actually I'm curious to hear your take on it.
Okay.
So Angela,
the Camus fight.
Who? Chico Camus. That was the only one I didn't actually see.
That was a damn good fight too.
Actually, I saw highlights of it. It looked like Pickett won though, right? But they gave it to Chico.
Yeah, that's another reason they need to do something about the judging, like. What is it, 29-28, Chico Camus?
Then
one said 30-27.
Not this.
yeah, something weird. That was a weird fight. So talk about this for a second. Angela Magana.
Oh, God.
Right?
Oh, God.
Who is setting the MMA world...
The
MMA world on fire right now with her Twitter page. She's posting a lot of ass pics, naked pics.
Oh, God.
I'm hearing so much about this.
Saying things. So she's for example, the last couple today she's talking about actually some decent tweets, right? So for example, fuck, I make myself chuckle. What's black and white and red all over? A zebra that has Ebola and is bleeding out. Okay, all right. She has one with her and Dana White, the bald father and your queen.
I'm sorry. She's come to my gym. I've hung out with her. She seems like a nice lady.
Nice lady. How old is she?
I don't know.
She's a nice lady.
No, she's a nice chick, you know? But the only thing I disagree about with her tweets is that the only queen that I know is the queen of spades, Shayna Baszler. So that needs to be a little bit. She needs to know about that.
So that's what you're upset about.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't really know her that well.
Shayna Baszler, and she's not even black.
That's another terrible joke. All right.
She can get really tan if that counts for anything.
Okay, so here's what she says. She's saying things like, okay, for example, Angela Magana, close round. So she has pictures of her and her ass sticking out, right?
Right. I think I've seen them. You don't have to show them to me.
Okay.
I want to see them. I haven't seen them.
All right. That's okay. She says, but she said, you know, what is Metamoris? All right. That's fine. She doesn't know what that is. MMA, most of my Twitter followers, she says that, Call Me Crazy. Fuck. She has so many ones that are fine. Like before, she said something about like, I've become different. This place sucks me in. I never know how rewarding feeding peasants could be.
She's tweeting Lindsay Lohan and Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
Aren't they like responding to her or something?
I don't think they are.
I think they might be.
Here, so this one here, okay. All hail to your queen, right? So that's her. That's her and her ass. She does. I mean, I guess her body's okay.
And that's her headgear.
Yeah. So
why is her headgear on her boob?
Your queen has three victories over Jessica Aguilar. Does she have three? No, she doesn't. I think she's 1-2 against Jessica Aguilar.
I don't know.
But yeah, but I mean, do you think she's good? Because I know Misha Tate's very upset about her. And so is Heather, saying that she's undoing everything that they've done for women's MMA.
I don't know.
Really? I would think you'd have a more of an opinion on this.
I don't know. This whole situation with her just confuses me.
Yeah.
It really does. Like, it's just really fucking confusing. Like, I can't figure out what her angle is.
I think she's just trying to be, like, crazy and a little off a rocker because she knows that might gain views and popularity, you know.
I know, but, like, she's really going about it the wrong way. She's more becoming, like, a joke than really, like, being looked at as, like, a conspiracy.
Some people don't know how to do it.
Yeah, like she said, thanks to Chris Cyborg for the advice on how to become popular. I skipped training and uploaded some ass pics. It works. Is that true? I mean,
I don't know.
Bang, your queen. She's naked.
God, with the queen.
Yeah. I know. And then she's saying that like women should wear strap on dildos for their fights because that way the refs won't stop it. She's saying, I mean. Instead of Muff Van, I wish Dana had given us Harleys to ride to the up gym. I would have gone right to a strip joint. She said someone in the Ultimate Fighter house has a really smelly vagina. I'll like let you guess who.
I'm gonna say.
Did you ask her if it followed vagina. Her around? Because it could be her.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. Everyone says you. You know. So like, she's calling everyone chumps and queens. But I mean, look, she's getting attention that she never would have got before.
And that's
right.
What she's trying to do. That's exactly what she's trying to do.
Yes. But at the same time, she has to win. You know, that's the issue. She has to win. She hasn't won in 4 years. She has not won in 4 years. So if she doesn't win, then it's like a huge joke. Yeah, but anyway.
But she's cool. I mean, that when I hung out with her, she didn't.
All right. Enough about her. I don't care about her anymore. All right, so.
You're over her.
I'm over her.
Call in, right?
I know. I thought this would be better. I thought this would be a better segment. I was going to read it. We were going to make jokes about it. Let's just, you know, can you cut this whole Anne Magana thing from like 5 minutes ago?
Absolutely not.
Really? You could cut her from 5 minutes ago, no?
Adjust and adapt. Overcome.
I'm just saying, this was a fucking waste of time. I thought it would be funnier. She had too many tweets. I was just going to pick them up and read them, but there was nothing.
No, it's just I don't know. Pretty obvious that she's going a little crazy.
Yeah,
she's just trying to pull a female Connor, except before getting any wins and establishing any kind of credible record beforehand.
Yeah, she doesn't really show any responsibility for that craziness.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's the thing.
She's like, I don't understand why everybody's getting all crazy about these pictures.
Really?
Bitch, really? Come on.
The thing is, her like ass pic. I posted her ass pic, and then Michael Johnson says it's not really an ass pic. It's more of just a lower back pick.
Yeah, because she doesn't have an ass, really. It's just like a 10-year-old Asian boy's ass. Not what it looks like, but I can imagine if a 10-year-old Asian boy.
Yeah, she doesn't really have a great ass. Like, that's the thing with Kim Kardashian. At least you're like, man, that's a fucking. But even that was like, I've seen a girl get plowed before in her porno. Like, looking at her ass doesn't really do anything for me.
Right.
It's one thing if you'd never seen it before, but I saw the Ray J porn. It wasn't that great. It was better than the Paris Hilton porn, who like made a phone call during her porn. She's giving a blowjob and then takes a phone call. Who does that?
Paris Hilton.
I'd be pretty jealous. You wouldn't do that, right? You would take a phone call?
During a blowjob?
Multitasking.
It's not polite to talk with your mouth full.
I don't know. If a girl took a phone call, I mean, her mom better be dying or something. I mean, not her mom better be dying, but that is kind of rude. That is a little rude. I think.
You wouldn't think that was funny?
If I was going down on a girl and then took a phone call, she'd be pissed.
I would be hysterically laughing about
it. Yeah, I'd be pretty like.
If she picked up a phone call, I would just start. That's just
I had a girl one time. I one time hooked up with a female comedian who was I have to say comedian, and like halfway through the BJ, she's like, "This is gonna be my album cover," and I started dying laughing. That was really funny. Really funny. That was great. But a full on phone call, I'd be kind of annoyed.
Right.
So
how was Linnell?
Linnell was amazing. It was the greatest PJ of all time.
Hashtag send us things that refer to oral sex.
Sure.
Why not? No, like said while having oral sex.
Okay. Yeah, I like
funny shit like that.
Oh yeah, that is pretty good.
Yeah.
I like you.
Well, yeah.
I like you.
I like Marina Shafir. She makes me laugh. So John Jones said he defended Bill Cosby. He didn't defend him. He said he doesn't believe that Bill Cosby would need to rape a girl. I don't even know why he would take that stance. I mean, there's been like 25 girls now at this point.
Right.
But then I wrote a joke. I said, well, if anybody knows about poking people against their will, it's
John Jones.
It's John Jones. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it just seems like a little weird. I could see one or two girls lying or whatever, but 16 girls.
All right, let's just say that it's not true. What has Bill Cosby done in his career to warrant all these people making these false accusations
I know.
In the twilight of his life? Yeah. Like, this dude is like one foot in the grave, and then all these people are going to be like, man, let's fuck this old man over who's never done anything to anybody.
Right, exactly.
Why would they do that?
16 girls. I'm not saying I could see one or two girls. Obviously, we have to be careful when you say something like that. What I'm just saying, there's been celebrities or people have lied about, and said, right. You know, oh, I was, you know, it wasn't even, they weren't even in the same state or something, you know. But at this point, like 16, yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
that's a little bit, like, it's a little much.
Yeah, that is a lot.
And yeah. He still hasn't said anything, right?
No,
he hasn't.
He
even
said,
rebuttal.
"But Jesus Christ, where are all these bitches coming from?" I did not put my jello pudding pop in those vaginas. Nah.
I like how he became Schwarzenegger after that.
Yeah, you did.
He went from Bill Cosby to Schwarzenegger.
Bill Schwarzenegger.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's ridiculous. All right, so let's talk about Daniel Cormier says it's hard to give up on Popeyes and donuts.
First world problems.
Really? Yeah, I can see that. Dennis Seaver. Is anyone giving Dennis Seaver a chance against Conor McGregor?
The Nazi?
McGregor called him a Nazi.
Is he German? Is Seaver German?
Yeah. But
actually, he's Russian.
He's Russian?
Yeah, I didn't think he was German.
Everybody gets him confused because I think he lives in Germany.
Oh, really?
Wow.
I don't know. I kind of think they should just give a... man, I want to see McGregor. He might, but the problem is that he took steroids. He was busted with steroids. And I feel like when guys take steroids, they lose confidence in the next fight when they're off roids. I mean, look at Vitor Belfort's like 125 now. I mean, he is so small at this point.
You saw that one picture?
Oh my God, yeah, I seen that picture. I seen a bunch of pictures. I mean, Belfort is tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to church. They were actually giving him money when he was speaking at those churches. King Mo says MMA is not a true sport. Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know. He also said professional wrestling was harder than MMA. And then when he said that, I actually wrote a joke about it. About, oh, yeah, that spinning back fist must have really hurt. And then he said he was going to have one of his friends beat me up. And then I had to call him up. Like, I was kidding, King Mo. He's like, oh, it's cool, man. It's cool. I'm like, all right. Sure. This is like first world problems.
First world problems.
Ronda Rousey is in the new Eminem song. You heard about that?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, Eminem raps about Ronda Rousey. Did Ronda, did she say anything to you about
it? Yeah, I know about it.
What did she say?
She was just like, I can't really make up the lyrics yet, but I'm in his song. And I was like, what? It only makes sense. Like,
is she in the video?
No.
Is there going to be a video for the song that she'll be in?
I don't know. I think it's just a song. Is there
a
video?
The lyrics are, all right, so... At least, okay, I got a Magic Johnson. It's like magic wand allows me to not let a blonde arouse me. If Ronda Rousey was on the couch with the condoms out, holding 1,000 magnums at once to pounce me. I'll laugh in response to how she dances and flaunts it around me. Her flat little badunkadunk is bouncing around, and all I see is Paulie Malignaggi. She's Slaughterhouse in a blouse. So I'm sure he raps it a lot better than I just said it. But
that was really good. Pretty good.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
I don't think she has a flat ass, though.
No, she's got a big butt. Like, just big butt.
Yeah, so her flat little badunkadunk.
Maybe he was just
saying fat little badunkadunk.
No, he said flat. I don't know. I mean, how many...
maybe he's just poking fun at her.
Maybe he goes for much bigger girls. If she's got a flat butt. I mean,
no. Isn't he married to...
Kim?
Kim.
I don't know.
Who's kind of like rail thin.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he's just doing one of those things where, like, you know, younger boys make fun of you because they like you.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah.
Is that why you make fun of me? Because you like me?
Maybe no. He's hoping that she's going to be like, flat little ass, come here, look at this thing in person. And then she'll pull it out and put it in his face. And maybe that's what he's hoping.
Is that what happens to you?
Well, yeah. I tell girls, I was like, you don't want to fuck with me because you're a lesbian. What? I'll prove it out.
Wait, you hooked up like that?
No,
really?
I'm just kidding.
Come on. That's amazing. Marina, you're a lesbian, Marina.
Me?
No,
yeah,
I'm
you don't like wieners.
Yeah, I'm just using that tactic.
I hate wieners.
So now you're
I hate wieners.
Now, how many people do think you're a lesbian, being that you're a fighter?
A lot, because of my build.
Do a lot of girls hit on you?
Yeah.
I was about to
really?
Ask you that.
Yeah. At the coffee shop? Oh my god. And in Venice?
What do girls say to you?
Well, just they'll just hang around the counter and ask more questions about coffee. And then, like, they get their latte and they'll just hang out for more time. And then they're like, oh, do you have a boyfriend or do you have a girlfriend? They'll ask me.
Since you're back there grinding coffee, speaking of grinding, what are you doing later?
Can I get some clam in my coffee?
But, like, when I was bartending, you got to learn how to play both sides of the fence to make money.
Have you ever hooked up with a girl before?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How often?
No, like back in the day.
You ever do like scissoring?
Scissoring.
No.
You did scissoring, did you?
You did.
Oh my god, no, no, I'm not.
You played rock, paper, scissors.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Really? No, you.
No, really, I didn't.
Okay, so what? You just made out?
I'm not talking about it.
You just, you already brought it up.
No, but this doesn't mean I have to talk about
Why
it.
Why are you all red?
Because I'm embarrassed.
You are so red.
What are you embarrassed about? That's hot.
Okay, yeah, but I didn't want to like get into it. I just wanted to say yeah, and then let's keep moving.
Well, okay, so wait, you wanted to scissor and keep moving?
Oh my god.
Okay, so all right, so you just fell some boobies. You didn't actually go.
You weren't clam smashing.
Oh my god, let's just.
No.
Let's just get over this part of the.
You give them an inch, they take a mile.
So you didn't play Swallow the Muff?
Oh my god.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We gotta get to our first guest. We're going to get back to this.
No, we're not.
This conversation is not over by any means.
I'm just.
There's no to be continued. It's done.
What's done?
I'm done talking
about it. The scissors have been done.
Oh, what were we even talking about?
We were talking about how many times you scissored people.
No.
All right, fine. You didn't scissor anybody.
No, everybody thinks that I'm a lesbian because of, like, my build.
Yeah.
And just...
The fact that you've done the scissors before.
It was just one blade.
Oh, my God. You guys are ridiculous.
No, it's okay if you have. We're not going to judge. In fact, we'll be turned on. No, that's
making her more uncomfortable.
All right, okay,
every
we won't actually be turned
by.
On. You have a boyfriend. So does your boyfriend know about the whole thing on, like, the boat?
What?
Does your boyfriend know about the scissoring? All right, let's talk to Ashley Evans-Smith.
Oh, my God.
Nice segue.
We gotta talk to Ashley. Look, Marina, it's cool.
I love you, Marina.
We're not going to judge. You could, honestly, if you want to, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters.
I'm real happy.
That's good. You
really
seem
happy.
You seem happy. You have a boyfriend now. It was just a phase you went through.
Yeah.
You know.
It was just.
You know, you just wanted to see if you liked it. I understand.
Or maybe it was just something that I wanted to do.
Even better. You know? So, okay. So you were just curious. You're like, hey, okay, do I like it?
Oh, my God. Now, I can't believe I'm talking
now,
about
Now, what
this.
Was the girl? Was it Rhonda or no?
No. No.
Was it with Shayna?
It was when I was. No. It was back in the day when I was still bartending.
Oh, okay.
And just working all the time.
All right. So what, it wasn't the Four Horse Scissors?
No. Weirdo.
Why are you shaking your head?
Such a weirdo.
All right.
Let's settle down.
What are we doing now?
We're calling Ashley Evans-Smith. She, you know, another girl. All right, it's cool. Look, hey, man. Everyone has their own.
How long before Adam asks Ashley about her scissoring?
First question.
I dare you.
Oh, she'll laugh. I know Ashley. She's really cool.
Hello?
Hey, Ashley Evans-Smith.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up? It's Adam Hunter, T-Rex, and Marina Shafir.
Hi.
What's up?
You're on the MMA Roasted
hey
podcast. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm at the dog park.
Oh, nice. Congrats on your... getting into the UFC. That's amazing.
Thank you. It is pretty freaking amazing.
That's awesome.
I mean, I can say I knew you way back when.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Yes. So me and Ashley became friends, I don't know, 2 years ago. She came to my comedy show, and we hit it off, and she was like super cool. She's she coaches little kid wrestling. Show me videos of her coaching like 3-year-old wrestling.
That's really cute.
And it was so adorable. She works full time as a bartender. And then you were in the World Series of Fighting. You had one fight, and they let you out to go to the UFC. How, by the way, how did that happen?
They were just pretty awesome about it, you know. Sean Shelby called the matchmaker, Ali, at World Series, you know, and said, hey, we want her. Can you release her? Ali called me up and was like, if I keep you from this, I'm keeping you from your dream. Everyone's dream is to make it to the top. The UFC's the top. And he's like, I'm going to let you go. I wish you the best of luck. And, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that is pretty awesome.
That is awesome. And you're fighting Raquel Pennington, who I know Marina knows pretty well. Tough fight. Now, your last fight, you won, but you got into a boxing match the first two rounds. I was a little bit worried about you. Are you going to use your wrestling this time?
Yeah, you know, with that last fight, I got a little... I don't know. I just really wanted to try something different and, like, showcase, you know, all the striking that I've been working on. But, you know, I was coming off an injury, and a lot of people know that. I had 14 stitches in my right leg, so a lot of, like, my range and timing was off. And it showed. It really did show, and everyone was like, what the heck is happening? And then, you know, went back to my corner, and they're like, all right, new game plan. You know, we adjusted and, you know, went back to my bread and butter and then TKO'd her in the third. You're basically going to see something similar to that fight in this next fight. You know, I'm going to stick to what I know. It's my debut. I'm not going to try anything too crazy, too new. You know, you can probably expect the same Ashley Evan Smith that you saw maybe like in the Fallon fight or my previous fights. But, you know, you can't be too crazy, but we do have a couple of tricks up our sleeves, and we have been working on a really good game plan specifically for her since she is mainly a striker.
Yeah, yeah. Raquel hits hard. Raquel is a hard hitter.
Yeah, you got two hard hitters here.
Two hard hitters. Now that Fallon fight, if people don't know this, you were the first girl to beat Fallon Fox, who is a transgender. That made huge news. That was all over the presses. Was there a lot of pressure going into that fight? I mean, what was that? I mean, you living through that whole thing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, incredibly unique and rare situation. I really appreciate, you know, what it's done for my career, the exposure that it gave me. But, you know, I got a lot of experience being in the media, you know, early on in my career. And I like it, you know, I really do. I realize that I like the hype and I do better when there's a lot of pressure. I do better when I am the underdog. And I think I just found out that I'm the underdog with the Pennington fight as well. It's like 72% think she's going to win or something like that. So I like that, you know, like I like coming in as the underdog. And with the Fallon fight, it was the incredible, you know, like the intense underdog, you know, no one thought I was going to win. You know, I had really good friends just kind of pat me on the shoulder and be like, well, good luck. You know, and I was like, thanks, buddy.
It takes a lot of balls.
But it was nice. It was nice to go in there and prove everyone wrong.
Did you get a lot of like flack as far as like, you know, from... Like, I know afterwards, like, people trying to, like, bait you into saying the wrong thing so they could jump on you?
Yeah. I mean, the Twitter is freaking a bunch of keyboard freaking, you know, fighters that, you know, they want to be mean and they want to say hateful things. And I just wouldn't even retweet some of the things that people would say because I'm about doing my job. I'm about winning. I'm not about creating hate, and I'm not about like spreading negativity. You know, I'm not like peace, love, and you know, happiness. I'm a warrior. I'm a fighter. You know, but I just didn't want to. I didn't want to get into the morals and the ethics of it. I had one job to do: get in there, win, and I did it, and that was it.
That's good. I mean, my whole thing was that when Fallon didn't disclose that she used to be a man. For the first two fights, that was ridiculous. I mean, if you're fighting someone, you should know, you know, their medical history, especially if they used to be a different, if they were a man and you're a woman.
I mean, and I said that. I said it was incredibly unethical and unmoral for her to do that. Just mean, you know, not very nice. You know, that's just, that was wrong. That was really, really wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there should be a transgender league. I would completely watch that.
That's exactly what I said. You know, I said until there's, you know, really like scientific evidence to prove that she has no advantage against natural born women, there, she needs to only fight other transgender fighters.
You call it Transvicta. You know, tell me you wouldn't watch Transvicta fighting championship.
Hope Shannon is listening.
I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, Transvicta, but that's for like post op, for pre op. It's in Dick Tuck.
Wow.
So I'm just saying.
I knew this was coming.
Well, yeah. So anyway, now we've been friends for a long time, and I recently have been following your Instagram, and you said that there's some guy. Are you dating some guy who's ripped? Well, who is this guy? What's going on here?
Yeah, my boyfriend. He's been a bodybuilder for like the last 15 years, and he was a California state champion as a teen and stuff like that. And he's been doing it. You know, he fights now too, but he's, you know, he has a huge bodybuilding background.
What's his name?
Yeah, we're gonna look this guy up.
Oh man. Adrian Gomez.
Yeah, I thought that was a joke. You're like, this is my new boo, this is my love of my life, and it's like some guy that you see like on like a Hallmark card for chicks or something, or like I'm like,
Adam, you are so hating right now.
I'm completely hating.
Holy crap.
Bring up a picture of this guy.
No, because Ashley used to have a crush on me. That's what Carla told me, that you thought I was cute, correct?
I'm
going to
plead the fifth.
Okay, see, Carla thought I was cute, and I thought, you know, I would date like a tatted up fighter chick, and it'd be kind of cool. And now I see
you
with this.
Blew it somehow.
And now you're cheating on me with fucking Fabio.
Adrian Gomez, ego.
Adrian Gomez, give me a break. Adrian can go away.
You know, it's so funny. I've never really posted about like a boyfriend or anything like that, and I get. There's so many haters now. Anything I post about him, they're like, this guy sucks. Stop posting about your boyfriend. I'm like, Jesus, you know?
That's me. Those are all my different profiles. No,
he's great. He's my nutritionist as well, actually.
Oh,
like,
God.
So now you're extra ripped.
Meals. Give me a break.
What?
Now you're extra ripped.
So when he busts on you, we're like, look at our protein. Is that what...
Hey, it's working out. It's a nice relationship.
Well, I'm happy that you're happy. Now, now you
Marina's dying.
Marina Shafir is dying, by the way.
Oh my god, that was really funny.
Thanks. Now you and Carla. I know you and Carla went to college together. You guys are best friends. Carla told me she taught you how to be a girl. Is that true?
This is so true. Yeah.
She said that when you went.
I taught Carla how to be not an asshole.
So Carla said when you went to college, you were like this crazy, just like grunge, like metalhead. It was into darkness and death metal, and like you banged your head against the wall every day. And then
ouch.
And then she bought you a dress and gave you makeup and like taught you how to attract men. Is this true?
All right, so we joke about this. Like, I came in wearing, like, the baseball, like, tank tops and, like, cut-off dickies and stuff like that. And she came in from, like, L.A. wearing her little tube tops and, like, booty shorts to, like, class, you know? Like, and the professors were like, look at her, like, what the heck are you doing, you know? So we were, like, just the opposite ends of the spectrum. And, like, when we started hanging out, you know, she did. Not only did she, like, help me be girlier, but she also taught me to have a little more, like, confidence in myself, you know? And I taught her a couple things, like how to tip a waitress,
waitress.
Not stiff arm a guy when he asks you to dance. You know, like, so we really
you are proving
each other.
Oh,
we
no.
really did.
Wait, what is it? What is she doing?
No. Like, it's just funny that, like, you had to, like, help her with those things. You know,
but
it's just everybody.
LA.
Yeah, like everybody has their own. I don't know.
Well,
sorry.
So what did you help Rhonda with?
And
what
Me?
About yeah? What did Rhonda help you?
I helped Rhonda with like fashion and confidence and like doing your makeup and stuff like that.
And what did she help you with?
Yeah, so you were like the Carla, and I was probably like the Rhonda. You know?
Yeah. Rhonda was like super grungy punk rock, and I was ghetto hip hop fabulous. So,
but Ashley's so funny because we and Ashley used to talk. We just really good friends. We're good friends. And I was like, Ashley, you know, it's funny because like you seem like such a sweet girl. She's like, man, I'll stab a motherfucker. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, you're not.
I'm going to cut you.
Yeah, she got mad at me for saying she was sweet. I was like, all right, I'm never calling you sweet again.
Yeah, I remember that conversation. I kind of did.
Now you've come a long way. I got to say, you've come a long way. You know, I mean, look at, you're in the UFC now. At one point, as an amateur, you were knocked out in 5 seconds, right? You knocked out 5 seconds. At that point, were you just like, man, it's over. Maybe this is not for me. I mean, what kept you going?
Of course, you know, like a loss like that, you really question your whole life. You're like, oh my God, what am I doing with myself? You know, but I mean, my whole life has been revolved around sports. You know, it's just, that's all I've ever done. And I asked myself, like, well, if I quit now, what the hell am I going to do with myself? You know, like I got a degree in journalism. I could start writing, but that just seems like such a boring life. Sorry, all you journalists, but you know, but I couldn't imagine my life without fighting. It's exciting. It's rugged. It's different. It's brutal. It's dangerous. I like it. I really like, I love it. You know, and I really like, at the end of the day, I just had to suck it up and understand that even the best of the best get knocked out. You know, there's highlight reels. Somebody's on every, there's always a, you know, a great fighter that's on somebody's highlight reel. So I learned a lesson, you know, strategically, technically, and then just also like, you know, morally, like things are going to happen like that in your life and you can't give up. And it was just one of the times that I was knocked down. You have to get back up. As corny as it sounds.
That's beautiful. I love it. And but then you also left Rain, right? You left Rain, went to a different gym.
Yeah, that's not the reason why I left Rain. You know, like Rain is a great gym. It was just at the time there was a lot of coaching switches, and Mark was really deep into his own training camp, and so it was hard to kind of get a little like one-on-one attention. There was like, you know, Ellenberger, and we had Christoph. We had friggin' all these huge guys, and I'm a little amateur over here, like, hey, you know, like, it was just kind of hard. And so, you know, I looked around for a minute and I found, you know, Subfighter MMA, and it's just, it fits perfectly. And, you know, I'm 3-0 undefeated, and it just, sometimes you want the big gym, sometimes you need the hole in the wall gym. And we're just a dirty little fighter gym, but it works for me.
Boutique.
Now, I hear that every guy at the gym at one point tried to hook up with you. Is this true?
I think all guys, like, especially fighter guys, are just, like, the biggest hornball. Even girls, you know, like, fighter girls specifically, were, like, I guess it's, like, the testosterone, you know, like, high sex drive. So
now, Marina was talking about scissoring 5 minutes ago.
Oh, my God.
It only took you 11 minutes to get to scissoring.
Yeah, Marina said that.
God damn it, Adam.
Marina was saying that
I did not say a word about scissoring.
You said that you used to scissor.
No, I didn't.
No,
what?
No, she was saying when she was bartending back in the day, there were times she made out with some girls. And maybe
this is what happened. They just straight up asked me, hey, have you ever hooked up with a girl? And I said, yeah, I have. And then they were like, ooh, did you scissor her? And then I had no time to reply. And they're like, did you scissor her? Did you?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened, actually.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's pretty much. So anyway.
Yeah, you put her on the spot like that. You guys are jerks.
No. Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Have either of you kissed boys?
No.
I have.
You have?
Yeah, my son.
Ooh. Oh.
Good answer.
Lame.
I kissed my son in his little face.
Yeah, and I've never kissed a boy.
Have you guys ever been hit on by a gay man?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Lies. Just kidding.
No, I went
to the gay bar the other day for the first time in Long Beach. It was so awesome. The drinks are so cheap and everybody's so nice. I'm going to go there all the time.
Yeah, they're nice. Fun.
No, is that now, were you meeting your boyfriend there?
No.
Adrian Gomez.
So Adrian Gomez. So now, how did Adrian pick you up? By the way, he was like, "Hey, you need to lose weight." And then,
by her neck.
Oh, by the way, I asked you about that. So when you once told me that you had the body of Adam Sandler.
That's so horrible.
That's
no, I said Roy Nelson.
No, no, you said Adam Sandler. I never, because I laughed for like a week about that. Now you're like,
oh no, I said I'm like Adam Sandler. You know, he says I drink a milkshake and my ass jiggles for a week. That's what I said.
Right now, how are you getting to 135? Because I remember you had a tough cut to 145.
Yeah, that was a while back though. Like, if I had to cut to 45 now, I'd be fine. I would be like, thank you God, but. 35. I mean, I made it with World Series. I did have to cut. I cut 11 the day before, water weight, you know, 24 hours out. And that wasn't very fun, but I got it done. Now I was even heavier starting this cut, but thanks to Adrian Gomez, my nutritionist, he's making my meals every day and it's coming off really fast.
Adam is hurting back here.
No.
He is just. He is in, like,
I'll wait for the rebound.
So much pain.
Right to the rebound. You gotta get yourself in shape. She's obviously into these buff guys.
Yeah, she's into these guys.
Just hitting the gym.
Sorry, I'm not a nutritionist. Goddamn.
Wait, aren't you a vegetarian?
I am a vegetarian.
How does that have you, like, with cutting even another into another weight class, has that affected your diet even more?
Not really. You know, we just kind of, I'm not vegan, so right now I'm eating a lot of eggs as far as protein goes. Like, but I mean, obviously tons of protein shakes and supplements and all that. And I get it done, you know, like at the end of the day, like, not to sound cocky, but I'm like, I'm a wrestler. And like, I went on record with some interview the other day and I was like, I can guarantee for the rest of my career, I will never miss weight. Never. You know, this is a short notice fight, but I will never miss weight.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Well, I'm rooting for you 100%. I can't wait to watch you fight, Ashley. I'm a huge fan of yours. You're a really, really a sweet girl, a role model. You help kids. You work your ass off. I know how hard you work and you've always been nothing but really, really sweet. So I'm really proud of you.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
And if you break up with Adrian Gomez, please give this poor guy, give him a shot.
Yeah.
Send him a tweet. Make him feel like wanted just a little bit.
A tweet. No, I'll send her a skeet. All right.
Do you want to date me so you can say you have a fighter girlfriend?
I don't know. I think we'd have a good time. Right? We would have a good time together. I know I don't like the misfits, but I still think it would be fun.
All right, I'll keep you in the back of my mind if things don't work out with Adrian.
Oh, thanks, I appreciate it. Well, where can people find you?
On Twitter, I'm Ashley MMA. That's A-S-H-L-E-E MMA1, and then Instagram, the same thing, Ashley MMA.
All right, take care, Ashley.
Bye bye.
Thanks,
guys. Bye. Bye guys. Bye Marina. Bye.
Bye.
All right, our next guest is just one at UFC 180. He's been a pro since 2006. Hector Urbina is coming on the show. 17-8. I like this guy. Thanks. Do it.
Hello.
Loud. Hey, this is Hector Urbina.
Hey, man, what's up?
What's up, man? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, T-Rex, and Marina Shafir.
What's up?
What's up?
Congrats on your big win 2 weeks ago. That was awesome.
Hey, thank you so much, man.
I mean, what was that like? Winning at one UFC 180 in Mexico in front of all those Mexicans. What was that like?
Well, when you put it that way,
right.
No, man, it was amazing. You know what I mean? Like, it's my home country. You know, I'm from Mexico. You know, so like being able to fight there, and especially fighting in the UFC, and my little brothers being able to watch. I mean, it's a huge opportunity, a very exciting opportunity for me. Very blessed.
Did you get tons of Mexican tail afterwards? I mean, was it just like crazy?
Yeah, it was pretty insane, man. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to get my mouthpiece, they're on my shorts, they're on my t-shirt, they were everything.
Really?
But,
so how many chicks that night did you hook up with?
None, man. I went back to the hotel room, I popped a bottle of Makers, and just had a couple drinks with my dad, you know what I mean? It was a real...
Oh, nice.
Father-son type of day.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, I was really happy for you, man. It was a great... Were you nervous in that first? Because he took you down and he had your back. Were you like, oh, shit? I mean, what was going through your head then?
I'm not going to lie, man. I was a little terrified. I mean, it was a little intimidating to be in front of so many people. And then, you know, being in the UFC cage, you know, it's the biggest stage in the planet. So I was like... You know, I kind of hesitated for a little bit, and then I was like, dude, you're already here, you know, you're trying to make this your home. you know, why are you fronting? You know, why are you slowing down for? I was like, speed up. So that's why I just changed my mind. I think he caught me with a nice punch, and I was like, dude, are you serious? The dude just punched you. So I reversed him and then ended the fight.
Yeah, no, I was really happy for you, man. Especially, I was looking. I had no idea when I saw you on the Ultimate Fighter. You know, I thought you were just like a brand new fighter. They didn't really do a really good job of saying that you've been around since 2006. I was watching some of your fights last night. You fought Mayhem back. I mean, you fought Tim Kennedy. I mean, you've been in Bellator for two fights in Bellator. You've been around the block.
Yeah, I come from a wrestling background, and my wrestling coach always told me the best way to learn is to, you know, learn going live. So I try to get as many fights with as many people as I could, you know, worth opponents and stuff. And, you know, that put me in Bellator, put me King of the Cage, you know, adrenaline, all that stuff. And, yeah, I fought Mayhem right after high school. You know, I hadn't been in a street fight before, but I was like, I mean, he's decent. He had just beat Robbie Lawler at the time. And he was doing decent in Icon Sports. So I was like, why not? I was like, let's go see where we're at and then build off of that. And then, you know, Tim Kennedy was obviously a really, really bad motherfucker. So, yeah, he's tough.
How old were you when you fought Tim Kennedy?
I was 18, too.
What are you, a maniac? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? He's a kid.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to high school in Archbold, Ohio.
So, okay, so you're the only Mexican in Ohio, by the way, or are there any other ones?
Well, in the area, there were a couple. That was the rest of my family, so about seven total. Right.
Okay, so you wrestled in high school. How did you do in states?
I took fifth at state, qualified for a couple national tournaments, you know, placed at those, freestyle and Greco and stuff. I mean, there's a couple projections where I could have been state champ, you know what I mean, but... And, you know, that Friday, I didn't wrestle the right way. You know, I missed my semifinals match and ended up going for fourth and fifth. And I lost. Or no, where did I go? No, I went fifth and sixth because I lost against two guys that I had already beaten in the middle of the season. But, I mean, it's how you wrestle that those last 2 days, really.
Right. Okay.
But, it was a good time.
So you graduate high school. Then you're like, you know what? I'm going to become a pro fighter. And you go to Hawaii and fight Mayhem.
Okay, just saying you're going to Hawaii. I mean, that's worth it enough. And then Mayhem, getting some recognition off that and being able to build off the experience. Yeah, man, it was very worth it.
But who was advising you to do this?
Well, I didn't really have management at the time. It was more like just kind of like people were throwing fights out there, and I was just taking whatever I could get at the time. I didn't have managers or anybody represent me.
So you were on Craigslist? I mean, how'd you find out these fights?
Yeah, I mean, they were just, I went up to like Dan Severin. I met some mediocre managers at the time, you know. It wasn't until I finally signed with Team Extreme and Chaz Bowling and Monty Cox that they started guiding my career and stuff. But before that, it was just kind of like, someone threw a fight out there, if I could make the weight, I'd fight.
I mean, that's pretty insane.
I fought heavyweight and all that, too, you know. I was just taking fights left and right.
Were you getting money? Like, good money?
Oh, yeah. Getting money, not good money, but, I mean, I was making money. For being 18, I thought it was the world, but obviously at this point, it's like, really, dude? Why would you do that?
Now, had you ever thrown a punch before these fights or no?
What do you mean?
Like, you had wrestling background, but what about jiu-jitsu and boxing and kicking? I mean, you just kind of just went out there, you're like, fuck it, I'll just...
Yeah, it was just, I moved to Chicago for a little bit. I went to a Lima Lama school, which is basically like a street self-defense where you just like throw a bunch of kicks and crazy stuff and hope it lands. So I did that, but other than that, I just did wrestling and, I did a little bit of boxing, but not much. So I just kind of just wrestling based and then started adding to my martial arts after that. Then, you know, within time, I learned some jiu-jitsu and then I learned to box and kickbox and stuff. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm very green, but like, you know, I'm just building and building, you know, going, you know, just trying to evolve in the game.
Marina, anything, any comments?
No, how old are you?
I'm 27 now.
Oh, so
yeah,
okay.
So at this point, yeah, I mean, I've learned plenty, but I'm still learning.
It's amazing that you have like 26 fights. You're 27 years old. You have all this experience. It's. I mean, I give you a lot of credit, man. I mean, I'm not making fun of you. I'm laughing at how insane that is. An 18-year-old kid out of high school is like, yeah, I'm going to go fight the best guys in the world in Hawaii. You know, I get a free trip out there, and I don't know. They're going to put me up at a Holiday Inn. So, yeah, I mean, I give you a lot of credit. I mean, you have bigger balls than anybody that I know. Jesus.
No, trust me, I laughed at that plenty of times with a lot of friends. It's just like, why did I even do that? But, I mean, had I not done that, I mean, you know, I'd probably be at some bar, you know, fighting still or something, you know? I mean, I felt like I had to see the caliber of opponent and what I was getting myself into. I mean, you know, you just got to dive in head first, you know what I mean? And then kind of swim back out.
Now when I'm like watching the Mayhem fight, I watched last night. I'd never seen it before. At one point, he's kneeing you in the head, like probably like 12 times in a row. At that point, are you like, man, maybe this trip to Hawaii wasn't worth it?
Well, I was just kind of like, what the hell do I do? You know? So like, I remember watching like one of the first UFCs where a guy, I don't even know who it was, but I know he went for like a heel hook, and I was like, all right. Attempt to do the heel hook. So I went for that, but then I just got punched. So I was like, damn, okay, this guy's gonna better
don't do the
out.
Heel hook.
Yeah, it was pretty comical, man. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I definitely have learned a lot since then. But like I said, I mean, had that not happened, I would have never learned not to, you know, give my back and things like that. Even I still do it, but, you know, it's a learning process.
Now, you're training over at American Top Team now with Hector Lombard and Robbie Lawler and Colby Covington and some of those monsters. What's that like?
It's really fun, man. Colby's a good guy to train with. He's a good friend of mine. You know, Robbie, the same thing. I mean, I've lived with him. You know what I mean? I've trained, sparred with him, rolled with him. You know, me and Hector are really tight. He actually went down to Mexico and helped me get ready for the fight, you know what I mean? Like, they're always there to help me whatever I need, and I'm there to help them as much as I can, you know what I mean? So it's a real family-oriented gym. I mean, like, everybody helps each other out. I mean, unless you got to fight each other, but that rarely happens. But, no, Hector Lombard's a good friend of mine, man. They're all good buddies. We're great teammates.
Raina, what were you saying?
Oh, no, I was going to ask, who do you want to fight next?
I don't have an actual name that I want to fight. I'm down to fight whoever, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that there was a rumor about the UFC going to Monterrey, Mexico. I'm from there, so I'd like to be on that card, you know. That'd be really cool. I have a lot more family in Mexico than I do in Ohio, so, you know, I'd probably sell more tickets. I don't know. More people there.
Have you told the UFC that you're from that city and that you would love to be on that card?
Yeah, they know. Okay. They know.
Now, why did you leave
Bellator? Hopefully, man, hopefully.
Why did you leave Bellator, by the way?
Well, it's the UFC, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, I fought Lyman Good. I lost that fight. Then I fought this other guy, Ira. I beat him. And then I sat out for, like, way too long. So I think they just eventually just cut me. And then I just kept training and, you know, picking little fights here and there. And then finally I got the opportunity for the Ultimate Fighter, and that was the biggest thing because I was waiting for that. And I missed the one for 170. I didn't get on that one. And then the following one, the 185, I got on it. So, you know.
No, you fought at like 180, by the way.
Huh?
You fought at the UFC 180, right?
Yeah, UFC 180.
Yeah. Okay.
He was cool. Saying weight
180. Oh, you weighed 185.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got into the Ultimate Fighter at 185.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, okay. I think you meant you fought a while. I was like, no, you fought the other. Now you fought on the Ultimate Fighter. The first fight against Cathal Pendred, who had a lot of heat going against him, and you were fucking that dude up in the first. You had him out, and everyone was going crazy. And then you ended up losing a decision. I mean, how much did you kick yourself for that?
Well, I mean, like I said, I trained, but I didn't train right. You know what I mean? Like, 3 months before the Ultimate Fighter, I just kind of went and did my own thing up in Indiana and just kind of hung out and really didn't do much but do, like, technique and stuff. So my cardio was completely gone. So in my head, I knew what I was supposed to do, but my body was just not, like, doing it because, I mean, I just had no gas. I mean, the first round I showed up, after that, I kind of blew my wad, so I was just like, dang. All right, I just hit him with a lot. So, like, what do you do now? And I was like, okay, I'm pretty gassed. So, I mean, like, again, another learning experience, you know what I mean? Don't go into a fight without working on your cardio.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good, it's a pretty good, yeah, because like, were you surprised when you had him hurt?
No, I knew I clipped him, with the first right hand, and then after that, I threw some more shots, but when I fell, or when he fell, I was surprised that he got up.
Right.
To my surprise, I was like, damn, dude, and I was like, he got up. I was like, what do I do now? My spirit was pretty broken, you know what I mean? I was like, dude, I just hit him really hard. I was like, how is he still standing? That guy's got a chin, man. I mean, even though he fell and went to his knees, he still got a freaking jaw on him.
Yeah, he's a tough fighter.
That rugby jaw.
Yeah, like that Mike King fight when he came back. That was that was very impressive. That was really impressive. So, man,
Mike King's tough too, man. He's a tough dude.
Yeah, all you guys. I feel like that whole season of Ultimate Fighter, you guys got screwed over a little bit because. I don't know if it was the time slot or whatever it was, or just maybe it was because it was after the one with Ronda, and it was right before the one with all the girls. It was sort of like a lost season, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was chill. I mean, it was pretty chill. I mean, it was a real hyped up, you know what I mean? But it was a good time. It's an experience, man. I like being on the show. I thought that was really cool. Never done anything like that before.
You have an amazing amazing attitude on life, man. You are such a funny guy. You're like, yeah, man. They asked me to go fight in Hawaii, and then I was like, fuck it. And then I don't know. I was in Indiana working on my technique. And then they called me up the fighter, yeah. And that was cool, man. They have really good food there, and yeah, I hit the guy, and I was like, fuck, what do I do? You're a pretty funny guy, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You too.
Oh, no, thanks, man. I appreciate it. So now, do you have a girlfriend in Miami or what? Or in Boca?
No girlfriend in Miami. Just kind of Florida, strictly training and getting busy, man. Just getting ready for fights.
Now, I heard Hector Lombard bangs all the old Jewish ladies. Is that true?
Bangs who?
Hector Lombard bangs all the old Jewish ladies, he said.
No, man. I don't know if you should say that shit about Hector. He said he might find you, punch you through the phone.
No, he comes on our show like every other week. He's a really good sport. He's really funny, by the way. He's a really funny guy.
Oh, yeah. Hector's great, man. One of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah. He's so super nice. He is super nice.
Super nice.
He is. Very nice guy.
He's so nice.
He's so nice.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I appreciate the amazing backup I have here. All right. So listen, listen, buddy. Hector, good luck with everything, man. Keep up the congrats on the big win in the UFC. We're going to be rooting for you, buddy. Where can people find you?
What the heck, man? On Twitter, I guess. American Top Team. Thank you guys a lot, man. You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We're definitely going to have you back
on.
Have
a good one.
Take care, buddy.
You too. Be easy.
All right. It was Hector Urbina.
He's a maniac.
Cray cray.
I mean, is that
totes cray cray?
Is that normal to just go to when you're 18 years? We're recording this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that normal when you're 18 years old? Just
no. To like to have no fight. His whole training was like, let me go
high school
fight
wrestling.
Somebody. And see where he beats my ass, and that's what I'll go work on.
Yeah, that's insane, right?
Yeah, he's punching me in my face, so I'll work on my punch defense.
Yeah, his parents must have been like, yeah, go ahead, go to Hawaii. Like, if I'm like, Dad, I'm going to Hawaii to fight, my dad would be like, no, you're not. Sit down. You're not.
Who did he train with in Hawaii, like, at the time?
Who was he training with? I don't know. Who was he? He was training with, right, at Lima's gym or something? I mean, there's
a... should have asked.
Yeah. I was like, the guy is... I mean, the guy's got balls. I'll give him that, right? Yeah. I mean, Jesus. I guess, you know, he's 26 years old. He's got a ton of experience. Like, whereas he's not going to falter under pressure. Right. A guy like that, you know, he just, you know, like his fight with Mayhem Miller, right? If you look up Mayhem versus Hector Urbina, which is what we're watching right now. I know you can't watch it at home, but which is always good to talk about something that you can't watch. But you could see him. You could see how good Mayhem was. People forget how good Mayhem was back in the day. I mean, he was.
I was such a fan of Mayhem. I remember this fight.
Do you really? Look, I mean, you.
I remember watching this fight. Yeah.
So look, so Mayhem takes him down. The kick. He gets on top of him, and then he just starts kneeing him in the head.
Fuck.
Right? And like, at that point, are you just like, why did I...
why am I here again? Like,
right?
Wait, leave it. Let it go.
I need a girlfriend. Damn. Like, I need a girlfriend like Marina. Like, watch.
Why?
Because I watch fights. If I watch this a girl that I date, they'd be like, "Who's winning?" Yeah.
Fucking slick. Holy crap! I miss Mayhem so much.
You do, right?
I do. We should get him on the show.
We talked about it. I wouldn't mind having him on the show. The problem is that there's some security issues with people that work here.
Oh, no, yeah. Like, we can have him call in.
Call in. Yeah.
We kind of do 99% of the guests here by calling.
Oh, yeah,
so.
We'll definitely have, like,
let's
Mayhem.
Let's do it.
Have you looked at Mayhem's Twitter recently?
What was that?
Have you looked at Mayhem's Twitter account recently?
Kind of.
He changed his name to Chonin, and he has a picture of Rio Chonin.
That's awesome.
Parading around as a Japanese pride fighter.
Rio Chonin, that's hilarious.
Oh my god, good for Mayhem. Mayhem is entertaining and he's really smart.
After my last amateur fight, he came and met us out when we got pizza in like West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he was nut job.
Yeah.
He would just text me randomly and just be like, "Shafir." And I would just be like, "Yep, that's me."
Yeah.
It's just random.
I am listening to Jason iTunes. He has collection many. How change profile, Jason make. And I am no understand profile settings. I am trying now.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, Mayhem's, he's very entertaining. I like Mayhem when it's just Mayhem. It was me and him hanging out alone. It was great. As soon as it was like a people around, sometimes it became like the Mayhem show.
Of course.
And that was when sometimes it was hard because it was like, you know, you kind of lost. It was like, hanging out with the comedian who's like always on, you know?
Oh. Yeah.
That's, to me, it's like, I'm never really on unless I'm on.
Working, right.
Yeah, you know? My whole thing is you have to experience life. How am I going to know and talk about what life really feels like if I'm not really taking in life? I'm doing my own shtick.
I think that's like the deepest thing you've ever said on the show.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you. What was that? Creepy.
Thanks. That's creepy. Me talking about scissoring for a half an hour was perfectly fine. Me going, is the creepy part. Okay, Marina, sure. Marina Logic. Hashtag Marina Logic. So anyway, well, that is our show today. Anybody want to talk about anything else? Are we good?
No, we're good.
Marina, you good?
Happy Thanksgiving, you sons of bitches.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
I'm making matzo ball soup.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you, nice Jewish girl.
And
don't mind if I don't.
You're
come
100%
over.
Bringing some in next podcast. Yes.
If there's leftover, I'm making a huge pot.
Do you still go to temple or no?
Huh?
You still go to temple?
No, but I know some really good Jewish food.
Baruch Atah Adonai Melech Haolam.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
No, it was pretty much on point.
No, yeah. It was not.
It was.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
Oh my God, you're so Jewish! I didn't know that.
You didn't know this?
You're Jewish?
Yes.
What?
My real name's Adam Greenberg. Yeah.
T-Rex is outnumbered 3-1 right now.
No, I'm not.
You Jewish too?
I'm Jewish too. I'm Sammy Davis Rex.
Bar mitzvah and everything, son.
He's Todd Rexenberg.
Todd Rexenberg.
That's what Tony Woods calls me.
Todd Rexenberg?
He calls me Rexberg or Rexenstein.
Yeah, all right, so, Marina, everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you on social media?
At Marina Shafir everywhere.
Nice. And you?
At Todd Rex, TODDREXX.
And you?
At Evan the Beard.
Okay. And you can find me at Adam Comedian or at MMA Roasted. Adam Comedian, one word, on Instagram. Guys, hopefully this will be up today or tomorrow.
Because Evan's doing it.
If not, do not hit me up. Hit up Evan the Beard or DJ Shrope and be like, "When's the podcast?" People hit me up going, "Where's the podcast?" I'm just as frustrated as you are, okay? probably even more so. Guaranteed more so. So, yeah, hit up Evan the Beard if you want to know when it's out. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Later.